Coming up in the big show today, we're going to talk pan fishing in the Alexandria area and the bayou. We check in with Chad Peterson. And Nick Sicala talks walleye fishing primarily on Mille Lacs and Leech. It's all coming up on Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Welcome to Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. We're headed over to the Alexandria area to check in with Chad Peterson of HSM Outdoors, a new guy to the show. Chad, thanks for joining up. Good to have you on today.
Thank you. Appreciate having me on.
So, since you're new to a lot of our listeners, why don't you just give us a little rundown of how you found yourself in the Alexandria area and in the fishing business?
Moved to Alexandria about 16 years ago from the cities. Wanted to get away from the rat nest down there. Started to do a lot more fishing in the Alexandria area. Particular panfish, sunfish, crappies, and really just started my venture down the fishing industry in that realm, using varieties of different types of tackle, rods, and just meeting other people in the area on what works for them. And because again, when you move from the cities up to here, you really don't know what lakes are producing what. But had a lot of good people telling me where certain fish were. And then from there, I just started to develop my own style.
So HSM Outdoors, tell us about that and what HSM Outdoors does.
HSM Outdoors, I started about 4 years ago, and basically I do a lot of videography, photography for certain fishing companies like St. Croix. I did some Northland Tackle videos. It was called the Northland Fisherman. Mm-hmm. Did a series of about 50 videos of there. So I do a lot of videography and photography for those types of companies. So just trying to be versed in almost everything that, you know, if anybody wants a certain project done, I can do it.
So you left the Twin Cities about 16 years ago, as you noted. A lot of places have a lot of lakes. Bemidji area where I live, Brainerd Lakes area. Up further north in the Arrowhead, and Alec, of course, has plenty of good lakes too. But what was it about the Alec area that drew you?
Well, it was kind of a funny story because, I mean, when we were in the cities, I mean, we would vacation on Osakis, and we go there, and, you know, my wife was originally from the cities, and, you know, she doesn't like a lot of change or anything like that. But when I had an opportunity to come up to Alexandria to work at my regular job, it wasn't really hard for her to say no. She said, yeah, let's do it, and that's how it went. I mean, I was actually surprised, but also thankful that she said it, because a great place to not only live, but, you know, to have a family and raise your kids there, too.
Absolutely. I mean, like so many of these towns I mentioned before, just some great opportunities outdoors, some great fishing opportunities. Certainly a lot of them there. Describe for us, for those who aren't real familiar with the Alec area, what are some of the key lakes there, and how many lakes do we have to choose from over there?
I think I've been there for 16 years, and I don't think I've fished them all. I want to say there's probably, if I had to count on my hand, probably maybe 45, 50 different lakes. And, you know, I try every year to try a new lake just to try it, get the lay of the land of it, but you know, some of the lakes that are probably the most popular are, of course, Osakis, Reno, Minnewaska, you know, the chain of lakes. So I mean, you know, and of course there's all kinds of little small lakes that I like to particular target, just because I don't like a lot of traffic. I like to kind of just go do my thing and study the lake and not have a lot of jet skis and running boats going by you, you know, while you're trying to fish. So,
You're into panfish. What is it you like about panfish?
It's the challenge. I think, let's say maybe 15, 16 years ago, you probably didn't have a lot of people targeting panfish, you know, particularly new people, because they probably didn't really understand patterns or, you know, what they do, you know, because, like, let's give an example, crappies. I mean, everybody fishes them in the springtime. Everybody knows where to get them. But then as soon as that spawn is over, pretty much everybody kind of just leaves them alone. And quite honestly, that's kind of when the best fishing is because they don't move very far from where they spawn. And, you know, in some of the teachings that I've given to people, I said, look, if they're right here, just go look, you know, in 9 to 10 feet of water, and guess what? They'll be there. And a lot of people go, I guess I never thought that. They always think that they're always, you know, going into the deep water, the basins and all that. And I said, well, you have basin fish, but you also have a lot of weed fish. And that's where I really like to spend a lot of my time is I'll spend probably 90% of my time in 8 to 10 feet of water. And, you know, the challenge is getting them out of the weeds because they're not going to go very far from the food source. So
what is the biggest challenge to most people when they're fishing panfish?
Patience.
Well, that's every fish, man. That's every fish.
No, it's true. I mean, if you said, for me, if I was in a boat with walleye guys, they'd be telling me the same thing. Chad, you got to have patience. You got to do this. You got to do that. I'm like, okay. You know, and I listen to them because they bring a lot of value to the table. Same thing with panfish. Let's say, for example, if I'm fishing a weed flat, and let's say it's 50 to 100 yards, I may catch one or two fish. All right, well, they're probably not migrated in this area. So you go and you try another stretch, and then all of a sudden, boom, you catch 100 of them. And the challenge that people face is that these fish migrate to different flats and different areas, and I always think it's always related to where they spawn and then also where the food source is. You find the food source, and that's pretty much where they're going to be setting up for probably most of the summer until, you know, we get into the fall, and then that's kind of when they start moving out. And so the challenge, again, is patience, but then also trying to outthink them a little bit because these fish, you know, I mean, they... Just when you think they might not be there, they're going to be there.
If we were out fishing for panfish right now, where should we be looking?
I tell people start in 8 to 10 feet of water. And the best way to do it, and I've really kind of taught this to a lot of people, start trolling. Troll like little crankbaits along those edges of the weed lines. And if you start getting hits, then that's probably where you can probably go ahead and use a slip bobber, or you can pitch into the weeds and reel back. But then you really kind of, you do the work, but then all of a sudden, you know, you put waypoints on and say, okay, this is where the fish are. And every time, you know, let's say if I bring somebody out and they want to catch crappies, I know exactly where to go. I know exactly what technique to use, making it as simple as possible to get them confident on how to catch them. And then from there, I say, now you can carry this on any lake, and this is what you want to do. And now you're seeing a lot of people, I mean, a lot more people getting into panfish and bigger crappies and stuff like that, because now they're understanding how to target them.
Of all the panfish, which one's your favorite to go after?
I've always been a crappie guy. I mean, I lived in Louisiana for basically 15 years, and I grew up fishing swamps, channels, all that stuff back down there. And the gentleman that I learned under, he was hard on me, but taught me an awful lot of things to look for, things that I teach people all the time. And you know, the only thing is that's really different between Louisiana and Minnesota is the structure. I mean, you had a lot of low-laying timber, stumps, wheat, you know, all that stuff. Whereas here, it's more, the structure is more weeds. So I had to adapt to that type of fishing style compared to down there. But the other thing that's different is down there, there's no limit to crappies. You can catch 150 crappies and you can keep them all. Up here, you know, they got a limit. So of 10, not saying that I tell people to go and go down south and keep all, you know, they're fishing down there to keep them all, but they just grow faster and they're more abundant down there.
All things being equal, what's your go-to presentation?
I'd have to say my go-to presentation is going to be the number 3 or the 3.5 Selma Hornet, because that really helps me target and hone in where those crappies are. And the nice thing is that when you're trolling, you not only catch crappies, but I mean you catch everything, but you can really pinpoint everything, and that's my go-to bait right now.
Taking a look at the Alexandria area so far this season, how has the overall season been?
Phenomenal. Very, very good. You know, you can take your kids out, anchor up on a you know, shallow flat or, you know, where the weeds are and bobber fishing. Those kids would have a blast catching sunfish and crappies right now. You know, and we got probably about another 2 to 3 weeks where they're just going to be feeding really well, and then they kind of slow down a little bit, but they're still there.
What about other species? What have you heard from the guys who are out chasing bass and walleyes this year?
I listen to a lot of guys. The smallmouth population in the Alexandria is phenomenal. I was out pan fishing about 2 weeks ago, and I could see the smallmouth right on the beds, and the bass guys just love them. I mean, largemouth are always going to be there, but I think the big thing now is everybody's really trying to find the smallmouth, because, I mean, it seems like that's an explosion, especially on Minnewaska, Grant Lake, some of these clear lakes where you can see them on the beds and stuff like that. There's some, and then the walleyes, of course, you know, right now it's probably lead core time. I mean, they're in that 17 to 20 feet of water right now. So walleyes are always going good, especially on Miltona, like Reno, Minnewaska, even on Osakis, but on Osakis is a different lake in itself. Those walleyes will be in that 7 to 15 feet, right next to the bulrushes and right shallow into the mud flats that are on I think that 2 or 3 miles. I've done that with crappie fishing, where I go out crappie fishing and I catch walleyes all day.
Yeah, these things tend to happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the walleye guy catching the muskie, and the muskie guy can't catch a muskie. It's frustrating.
I think when you're a fisherman, you really don't really care what you catch as long as you're catching something. Like I said, there's particular lakes that I go to that I'm you know, privy to. Reno's a good one. I control that lake up in the shallows, and I'll catch crappies all day, so people control that lake as well.
I know better than to ask a crappie angler about his favorite secret spot. That would be a really dumb question to ask, but... So, with the exception of your super secret 5-acre lake spots that you're not going to tell anybody about, what are some really good lakes in the Alec area to go catch crappies and other panfish?
Well, I mean, Geneva is a good one. There's a lot of structure. You find the weeds, and you're definitely going to catch crappies and bluegills. The other one, again, is Reno. These are lakes that I fish, and, you know, people see me out there. I mean, it's no secret. Do I travel outside of the Alexandria area? I do on occasion. The other good one is Irene. Irene's a really good one for bluegills, and that you could be 12 to 15 feet of water and fish them right on the bottom with either a small plastic or, a chunk of worm. Or a night crawler, and you'll catch them all day.
All day is a key word there. I mean, when we're going for, walleyes, that tends to be, early morning, late evening, and particularly on real clear water lakes. What about panfish? I mean, is that an all-day bite all the time?
It can be. If you understand, it's kind of like, let's use walleye terminology. You know, walleyes come in the morning and evening to feed, and then they just kind of slide back out. Well, panfish kind of do the same thing. It's just a matter of, okay, if I'm at 2 o'clock, let's say right now, okay, I know they're going to probably be in that 12 to 15 feet of water. But as we get into 5, 6, 7 o'clock, you know what? They're going to come in. They're going to feed. So I'd move up into 8 to 10 feet of water. It's just understanding the migration of the fish on what they'll do at any particular day. And when I say that, I target the bigger fish. So the thing is that you can sit in 8 feet of water and catch fish all day, and you'll catch a couple big ones. But if you're going to be targeting those types of fish, you're going to want to try to, you know, like in the middle of the day, slide out a little deeper, and they'll be there.
Chad, for those of us who aren't familiar with it, tell us a little bit about HSM Outdoors and how we can find out more about it.
Well, I have a website. It's hsmoutdoors.com, and we do a lot of articles and things like that that tell people, you know, what we've done, not only here in Alexandria, but let's say out in South Dakota, North Dakota, Wisconsin. And, you know, we, like I said, our videos are on there, our photography's on there. You know, we do hunting stuff too. We have a couple guys that we go film every once in a while. So, like I said, we've done a lot of different promotional type, product demo, videos, like the Easy Deucer, Vexlar, Blackfish, FXR Outdoors. I mean, just, pretty much everything is on the table when it comes to filming. So
later on in the show, we'll check back in with Chad and talk bayou fishing, because that's where he hails from originally. Up next, though, a little closer to home, we're going to talk Leech and Mille Lacs primarily. Nick Cicala of iCrazy Guide Service is next. This is Fish in Paul Bunyan Country. This is Fish in Paul Bunyan Country. Well, it's been a while since we had him on the air, but it's about time we did get him back. Nick Cicala of iCrazy Guide Service. Hey, thanks for joining us, Nick.
You bet. Good to be back on the show, Kev.
So, Nick, for those who don't remember, and I'm kind of one of them, I don't have a great memory, I do know you fish a lot of the northern waters, but how did you find your way into the guiding business?
Back in college, I actually ventured out to South Dakota and guided on Lake Oahe in the summers when I was out of Bemidji State, was out of session for the summer. And I dabbled out there and got my feet wet in guiding at Oahe Wings and Walleyes on the Missouri River. And from there, I after college, I came back home and I just kind of fell in love with it. And it's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So that's what I'm doing now.
So what did you go to college for?
I got my business and marketing degree from Bemidji State.
That applies to any business you want to run then, so kind of fits.
Exactly, yep.
Well, Nick, where are you from originally?
Originally, I was born and raised in Cottage Grove. Now I'm in Emily, Minnesota.
Okay, where exactly is Emily, Minnesota?
Emily, Minnesota is located about 20 minutes north Crosby, right on Highway 6.
Okay. And in addition to your guide service, you run a bar and a grill too.
Yep. Yeah. My I'm in partnership with my dad in a bar and restaurant, Cross Pub and Grub in Crosby, and things have been really going well here after the COVID shutdown and all that. But everything's up and running, and people are supporting us well.
Excellent. So, what's your specialty? What are you good at on the grill?
I'm not there most of the time. I'm usually on the water, but my wife is she kind of manages it and runs it in the front of the house, and my dad is the guy on the grill. But if I'm going there to eat, we have some really good pastas. Otherwise, can't really beat a good burger for me.
You can't. No, you really can't. Well, it's interesting to hear about the stories of how people get into guiding. I found it interesting that you, a Minnesota guy who actually went to Bemidji State, where there's plenty of lakes, ventured out to South Dakota to get your first guiding experience. A lot of people don't realize how good those waters are over there.
Yeah, you know, it's completely different than it is around here. You know, the Missouri River is huge. It's I forget exactly how long it is, but it's over 100 miles long. And there's not a house on it. It's totally open. You know, you see deer, buffalo, antelope. It's just beautiful rolling hills. And And the amount of pressure out there is nothing like we see in Minnesota. The fishing is just excellent.
Well, I know that you and Will were in a tournament, it looks like, last week. I think I saw a post on Facebook about that. Where was it? How'd you guys do?
We were on the tournament on Mille Lacs Lake, kind of my home guide lake. And we did well. It was actually three different tournaments that were lined up. There was a big cluster of tournaments on the lake over the last week here. But and I fished two of them. Will fished three. We didn't do too well in the first one. We were partnered up with some our partners. They ended up winning that. It was called Quest for the Best, put on through AIM. They ended up winning that tournament. So we kind of pulled off the spot and let them have that after they had a great first day. Then Will took fifth on Saturday, and we took third yesterday on Lake Mille Lacs.
Okay. Well, where have you been doing the bulk of your fishing so far this year?
I've been on Leech Lake a lot this year, as well as Mille Lacs.
What are you finding? I've heard a lot of good reports about Mille Lacs so far this year. Are you seeing good action out there?
Yeah, fishing is absolutely tremendous.
What's working out there right now?
You know, the beauty about Mille Lacs is the fishing is so good, and it's funny to say, people say, yeah, right, but you can literally go out there and catch them any way you want. It's a great lake to go and master your craft, if you will. If you want to get better at rigging, you can go catch them rigging. If you want to get better at jigging, you can go catch them jigging, trolling. Literally, any way you want to catch them on that lake, you can. There's fish in 5 feet of water out there, and there's fish in 35 feet of water. So it's a great lake to go and just get better at fishing.
You know, I think a lot of people don't realize, just because of the restrictions on there due to the treaties, but they think because of the restrictions, it's because there's no fish in that lake. That's not the case at all. There's a ton of fish in that lake.
That's not the case. That could be the furthest from the truth. But one thing I like to say to people, and they say, why would you fish that lake if you can't keep any fish? And I love to say to them, you go golfing, but you don't eat the golf ball. So people just love to go out and enjoy their time on the water and, have a fish on the other end of that line. It's a great place to go.
Absolutely. And you know what? Not only do I not eat the golf ball, I often lose the golf ball. So there you go.
Yeah, right.
How about Leech? How's Leech been this year?
I just got off the water there. It was a tremendous day. We had a four-man limit in the boat by 11 o'clock. It was really great fishing. Granted, we did have good wind today, and that's a big help on Leech Lake. But the fish are really starting to move around. They, typically in the summer or the early spring, they roil up shallow. It's a jig and shiner bite. There's no secret there. And they're starting to transition out of them secondary break lines out into the humps of the lake. Today, I particularly found them on the edges of rocks. I thought maybe they'd be starting to eat some molting crayfish, but none of the fish I had cleaned had any crayfish in their bellies yet, all minnows. And bugs, of course. It was the first big mayfly hatch I've seen yet this year. A lot of fish fly hatches, I like to call them, the smaller kind of gnatty and moth-looking type of bugs, but this was a full-on mayfly hatch, you know, mats of them all over the lake. So that can make fishing tough, but there's always ways to trick them out to get them to bite.
What kind of presentation were you guys using on Leech today?
Today they really wanted leeches. Typically once they start having bug hatches and stuff, I pretty much strictly go to leeches and crawlers.
Have you been fishing for anything else, or are you mainly a walleye guy?
Mainly a walleye guy. Mille Lacs Lake, I do take a lot of smallmouth trips out. Those have been going really, really well, actually, lately. Along the lines of talking about bug hatches, it's a great time to start catching them on top water. Those fish are starting to look up at the bugs on the surface and eating them. That's my favorite bite of the year. It's the only time of the year I drop my clients off and I got to go back for a few more casts because I just love watching them smallmouth blow up on them top waters.
I think most bass anglers would tell you top water, it's really why they got into it.
Yep.
Great conversation to have with you as a guy that's on Mille Lacs a lot and has seen that water really clear up due to some zebra mussels. We're starting to get to see more and more of them on Bemidji. What can we expect in the next several years?
You know, it seems like every lake kind of reacts to zebra mussels a little differently. Mille Lacs is clear, but it's not super clear like your Cass or Leech has been getting so clear, and you hear about that. Gull Lake, all these lakes in our area that have the zebra mussels. As far as what you can expect is I would expect the water to, yes, clean up a little bit. I think overall Bemidji is a little bit more of a darker water lake, and I don't ever see it getting as clear as either of those. But for sure, you're going to see fish, you know, relating to weeds a little bit more as the water gets clearer, just because they're using that for shade during the day to get out of that sunlight with the clearer water. You might see wind be a bigger factor, where windy days you're going to catch a lot more fish than you are on the calm days. Those are some things you can expect. But like I said, I don't foresee it being a huge change for Bemidji, just because it is kind of a darker water lake. It's not real dark, but it's kind of a murkier lake.
Yeah, and then you also get, in August, you get they're famous for an algae bloom late July into August, which really helps them continue to be able to catch walleyes in what has typically been the dog days.
Exactly. Yep.
That should help, because I hope that'll keep happening regardless. It's interesting to hear the different stories from different people on different lakes, that's for sure. But like you noted, it certainly hasn't slowed down Mille Lacs any. I think for most anglers, it tends to be they need to make adjustments because the fish are still there. It's just they're in a different spot now.
For sure. The fish are still there, and they're still eating. They just need to make a few adjustments to stay on them.
Well, as we move forward here towards the end of the month and into July, what are you anticipating is going to change as far as the bite goes, or what typically changes? Every year is different, of course, but...
I'm anticipating the fish are kind of getting set up in their summer patterns right now. What you're seeing now, I think, is going to hold true through July. You might start playing into a little bit more of an open water trolling, a basin bite, if you will, where those fish totally pull off of all structure and they're just roaming around the basins, eating bugs, eating minnows, stuff like that. We're not quite seeing that yet. That's about the only thing I'm going to think that's going to change much. You know, you're still going to be looking at them offshore humps, some of that deeper break lines and those kind of things.
Of course, over on Leech, one of the things that's going to kick in, if it hasn't already, is the that night trolling bite on Walker Bay.
I think that kind of goes all year. Those fish are there all year, and they don't leave those weeds really much. So I think that's something that people can partake in year-round. It's definitely an evening thing into the darks.
Well, Nick, sounds like you're mainly a walleye guy and you like doing bass, but those are your two biggies?
Yes, they are.
For those who do want to, you know, maybe come over and vacation and try out Mille Lacs, maybe haven't before, besides those, what else will you find on that lake?
You know, Mille Lacs is one of them lakes that it really doesn't have many largemouth, which is totally weird. It seems like every lake in the state is just packed with largemouth, packed with northern sunfish, bluegills, crappies, all those things. Mille Lacs is really a big walleye and bass lake. You know, if you get a bite, it's 99% of the time going to be one of those two things. But with that being said, there's so many lakes around the area where you can chase those different species that are great options for those species.
Well, Nick, if people want to try any of the lakes that you guide, how do they get a hold of you and get something set up?
You can check out our Facebook page at iCrazy Guide Service and shoot us a message on there. Otherwise, my telephone number is 651-399-3179. Or stop in at Northwoods Bait and Tackle and talk to Will Pappenfuss over there. He'll get you hooked up with a trip.
If we need a good burger, where do we find Croft's Pub and Grub?
That's in Crosby, right downtown.
Easy enough. And Nick Cicala from iCrazy Guide Service, talking Mille Lacs and Leech primarily today. Nick, great having you on the show. It's been a while. Thanks for taking the time today.
You bet. Thanks, Kevin.
You're listening to Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. We check back in with Chad Peterson and go back to the bayou. We ask him, where do you prefer to catch those crappies? In Louisiana or in the lakes of Minnesota? You told us how you made your way from the Twin Cities up to Alec. How in the world did you get from the bayou to the Twin Cities?
Well, it's funny because my dad was a Navy guy, and he was stationed out of Hawaii. Now, I was born in North Dakota, so when my dad got a job in Louisiana, we moved down there when I was four. And so we spent most of my childhood and teenage down there. And then, of course, when he left that job to come to the Twin Cities, then we moved up here, was it in 87, the year that the Twins won the World Series. And that was exciting.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of, you know, I'll tell you, moving from a hot state like that to a climate that we have up here, I didn't take too well over the first maybe 2 or 3 years because I didn't know how to cope with the sub-zero degrees. So it took me a little time, but it was worth it because now I love it up here.
Well, I'm still not great at the sub-zero, but I, you know, most of the year I am pretty happy to be here. That's a fact.
well, it's great when you have the love of fishing. You know, you can just kind of carry on from summer to fall, and then go jump right into ice fishing. And like I said, I fish all season and follow these fish from when they're up in the shallows in the you know, late ice, and when they spawn. And so it's just it's a constant challenge to on top of these fish, just like anybody else. Whenever you're fishing walleyes, I mean, everybody's on board with fishing them early, how to fish them late, how to get them, understanding the species that you're trying to fish for.
Taking the weather factor out of it, where do you prefer to fish? Do you prefer the waters down in the bayou, or do you prefer up here?
If I had to pick today, I would pick down there, down in Louisiana any day.
Really?
I would. I mean, just was it 2 weeks ago when we had that 95 degree weather?
Mm-hmm.
I was out fishing in it. And people go, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, well, how'd you like 95 degree weather with 100 degree or 100% humidity? That's worse than what you're dealing with here. So, but I would prefer heat over cold any day.
Is the fishing better down there?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
How so?
You know, the guy that I learned from, you know, you have one spawn up here, and that's normally in the spring. Down there, you might have up to 2 to 3 spawns, so now you have that much more fish that will produce. And you know, again, when you can catch 300-400 of them in a day, you know, that by far, I mean, believe it or not, I could never get tired of catching 400 crappies a day. I mean, it's just fun. But my patience is that, you know, now it's like, okay, now I have to kind of hone in and find those fish. And then, you know, for me, a 30 to 40 fish day is pretty normal. And that's all, you know, I fish about 4 or 5 hours a day, you know, on the weekends and sometimes during the week. But I'd pick that. I'd pick down there any day.
Do you ever get to go back down and do a little fishing?
We plan on doing something because my wife wanted to kind of, you know, get down there and see what it was all about. And then, of course, my son, he likes spicy food, so that's right up his alley. So food is phenomenal down there.
Yes. So I've heard.
I mean, it's, you know, like I said, you know, not where, you know, the funny thing is, again, we were right next to the Gulf of Mexico called the Vermilion Bay, which is the mouth of the Gulf. And we would go ahead and just anchor up there and shuck our own oysters and get our own crabs and all that, bring them home and, you know, fry them up and eat them all like that. I mean, that's a good living, just doing that kind of stuff. It's fun.
So if some of us went down to try a little crappie fishing down in Louisiana, where are some of the best places we should go, and where do we find good guides down there?
Well, since I haven't lived down there for a long time, but I can tell you one of the lakes that I would definitely highly recommend would be Henderson Swamp.
Okay.
And it's a stretch, it's a lake slash swamp with a lot of channels. and you would have to, you know, when you left Louisiana or Lafayette, you'd have to go on the interstate, and the interstate from there to Baton Rouge is a two-way interstate. When you go over that, you're basically going over Henderson. You go anywhere in there, you'll catch fish. That's the best. And then they have another lake. It's called Miller. And then, of course, you know, we would always fish the Vermilion Bay in the fall and probably October, November for speckled trout and redfish. You know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I mean, that's just really fun. I mean, it's just real fun.
We called on Chad Peterson to hear some talk about fishing south of us. I was thinking Alec, but we went all the way down to the bayou. So we covered a lot of things today, Chad.
It wasn't really like I really wanted to move back up here, but you know, when you're kind of, your hand is forced a little bit, you know, you're like, okay, well, you got to make the best of it, and I have, and I, you know, I probably wouldn't change anything. You know, I love Alexandria; it's a great place to live, and the fishing is great because, again, I'm probably 5 to 10 minutes to any lake that I want to go fish. That's the nice thing about it.
Absolutely. You know, whether you're talking Bemidji, Brainerd, Alec, any number of spots in Minnesota, you have that option. We are quite spoiled, really, when we get right down to it.
And we are. I mean, you know, the one thing, if I have to say anything, what I normally tell people is it's a great resource. And I'm a big believer in respecting the resource, meaning that just fish it. You don't always have to keep a limit of fish, or, you know, you don't always have to, you know, abuse it. You know, like, if I see any kind of trash or any type of, you know, things in the water and stuff like that, I'm always picking up after my, you know, other people. I just keep telling people, just leave it the way you found it.
All right, Chad Peterson from HSM Outdoors joining us again. Again, what's the website, Chad?
HSMOutdoors.com.
Easy enough. HSMOutdoors.com. I might have been able to predict that. Hey, Chad, thanks for taking the time today, talking Alec fishing and a bunch of other stuff, too. Really appreciate it. Really enjoyed it, and have a great day.
All right, you have a great one. Thank you for having me.
Coming up tomorrow, Brady Loudon from Visit Bemidji. He talks about the importance of fishing to the tourism scene in the Bemidji area. He's been guiding on Lake Bemidji a lot. He'll get us caught up with the hot bites. And he previews a big fishing event coming up in the Bemidji area later this summer. Also tomorrow, the Lake of the Week. And Friday, we check in with Dusty Minky and out of the Brainerd Lakes area, Garrett Haglund. And once again, a friendly reminder to subscribe to the podcast at Podcast One or on the PodMN app. There's going to be a lot of bonus stuff posted this week on the podcast that will not be available on the radio shows. That's it for today. I'm Kev Jackson. Thank you for being here. Now we're going fishing. Bye-bye, Yan Country.